This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. I have such an important subject to talk about today, and this is an answer or reply to a question that I got from somebody in a previous video, and it has to do with a salvation question. So the question exactly is, somebody asked, if Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, is the Savior, and He atones for sin, and He is the life, then why are so many requirements to be saved? Like, you have to forgive and love your brother and be patient, etc., etc. Doesn't this mean that we are saved ourselves by fulfilling the requirements? And if we save ourselves by doing certain things, how is it Yeshua is saving us? How does salvation work? Please, can you answer without quoting Paul, but either with your own words or Old Testament quotes? I have personal issues with Paul. If we are saved by the atonement, then we still need to do our Creator's will in order to be His in His presence. But if we sin, are we still under atonement? And what is the guarantee for salvation then? Who will be saved? I don't understand. Okay, so this is the question we're going to look at today. And the answer basically is when it comes to salvation, the judgment and the final word on salvation is our Creator's word. And everyone that talks about anything that happens after our death is all an opinion. Now, some of these opinions are based on different translations of different scriptures. But the only sure way to know is when we leave this eternal, or when we leave our bodies and we go on to our next life, that's when we're going to know exactly what's going to happen. But I'll tell you, from what I see, according to my understanding of Scripture, is we are not saved by our works. We're not saved, and we don't get salvation by what we do. We get blessed by what we do and cursed by living against the words of our Creator in this life here. But according to Scripture, salvation will come through accepting Yahshua, the one they call Jesus, as who He says He is. And if you truly do that, your life should line up with the Word, because if you believe in Him truly, you're going to desire to follow Him. And He was the living Torah, the first five books of the Bible, living it and showing people how to live it out. And that's what He taught. He taught the Torah. So, if you've accepted Yahshua for who He says He was, the only way to the Father, as it says in Scripture, the only way is through acceptance of Him. There's no added requirements, and you must do this, this, and this. But if you are truly following Him, your life should line up with Torah. It should line up with the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. If it doesn't, you need to question if you truly believe in Him and what He said. Why else would you not desire to follow Him? That's what a follower of Him means and is. Many Christians today are not following the way of Yahshua, the one they call Jesus, in the scriptures. They're living a life more according to the world's ways than they are according to the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And what the Bible does say in the original covenant is, if you follow my guidelines and instructions, you will be blessed. But if you do not, you will be cursed. See, there's no middle ground. The Bible's a book of opposites. You have good versus evil, blessings versus curses, health versus disease, and life versus death. There's no neutrality with our Creator. So if your life is lined up with our Creator, you will get the blessings that is your right to have as a believer. As a matter of fact, even if you do not proclaim Yahshua, but your life is lined up according to the instructions of our wonderful Creator, your life will be blessed to a certain degree. Those instructions He gave us for our well-being, those instructions He gave us for our life, for our health, for our safety. It's like if a parent gives their child instructions and you listen to those instructions when you cross the street, look both ways. You're putting yourself in great danger if you do not listen to the wisdom and advice of your parent. And when you cross the street, you don't look both ways. We hear the word curses and we often think some witch in a corner of a room with spells. But no, when the Bible talks about curses, it means that these things are going to, they're the opposite of blessings. I can't bless those, or I will not bless those who will not follow the instructions to be blessed. And the opposite of a blessing is a curse. So these curses will come upon you if you live a life that is not in line with the scriptures, is not in line with Torah, is not in line with the living Torah, which is Yahshua. Yeshua can't be who He says He's going to be in your life if you're not going to follow Him. However, no man has ever been able to completely 100% follow Him 100% of the time. Christianity today will call this missing the mark. Our effort might be there, but sometimes we might miss the mark. Yeshua offers wonderful mercy and grace to us. And that's not a reason or an excuse to not follow Him. In the scriptures it says, you know, sin is transgression of following the word. It also says to know good and not do it, it's a sin. So once we know and we follow these guidelines and instructions, we'll be tremendously blessed. But the scriptures say salvation comes only through proclaiming and truly believing in Yahshua as our Messiah. And this is a good topic because I was talking to somebody recently and reminding them and letting them know that, you know, there's two things that make up our lives or determine how we're going to live our lives. Our experiences from the past and our faith for the future. These are the two things that are going to determine who we are, our identity, what we want to do in our life. Our experiences from the past, which already happened and you can't change, and then our faith for the future. So the question is, where do you put your faith and your hope? Where do you put that? And some people have the mindset where they want to see things. I need to see this to believe it. This has to happen. Or I need to physically see something. And other people have a faith, like the scriptures say, the amazing faith is the faith of the unseen. So you could truly put your faith in many different things and your hope in many different things. What I've done is I searched. I grew up pretty much an atheist. But when I was in my early teenage years, or late teenage years, I ended up developing a disease, and it got me on a path to search all the popular belief systems of the world. And then I just thought about life, and I thought about what happens after we die. And everywhere I looked, I found no better option than what Yeshua says about spending eternity with him. There's no better option that I found for me. I was convinced when Yeshua died and rose again that he was who he says he was. But I made this decision to put my faith in who he says he was. And just like love is not an emotion, it's a decision. Faith is not an emotion. It needs to be a decision. Where are you going to put your faith in? We should have the desire to follow what we believe. And we should believe the best options for us. If somebody would present to me a better option than what Yeshua can offer me, I'd be open to it. But from all the options I've seen out there in the world, I haven't even come close to seeing a better option. Matter of fact, I don't even have to look because I know there's no better option. So you don't have to do something for your salvation. If you proclaim Yeshua, but if you're deceived by the enemy and you're not following Yeshua the way that he says to follow him, you're a member of the church and following Christianity and you're doing all these things that aren't necessarily following him, more ways that are going according to the ways of the world, but you truly love Yeshua so much you'd be willing to die for him, and there's a wonderful book called Fox's Books of Martyrs, or Fox's Books of Martyrs that talks about people that were slaughtered and killed by the Roman Catholic Church way back in the day and for not denying Yeshua. And these people weren't keeping the Sabbath, and I don't know where they were, if they were loving their neighbor and what they were doing, but they would not deny Yeshua. Again, the whole issue of who's saved and who's not saved is not up to me or us. It's up to our Creator. We are called as believers to be discernment, and that means to judge with wisdom and judge others, to lift them up and not tear them down. But the one thing we are not to judge is one's salvation. That's between the person and a wonderful Creator. So the best thing you could do is your life is decide with research and learn and make a decision of the best option for you of what's going to happen in terms of your salvation. What sounds the most appealing? And make that decision. And then go on faith that is real and it's true and follow it. And hopefully that'll clarify your answer. As for blessings and curses, doesn't matter who you are, or what you call yourself, or what you claim to be, if you follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, you're going to get the reward of what comes out from, and it's not even a reward, it's the outcome or the consequences of being obedient. There's hundreds and thousands of Jewish people around the world that have not accepted Yeshua for who he says he was. But they're doing their best to live according to the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And they have many blessings in their life that a lot of Christians who claim to know Yeshua but are not living according to those guidelines and instructions are missing out on. So I think we need to stop thinking of blessings and curses as evil and wicked versus all these other things like chosen and all this. And I think we look at blessings and curses more from a work standpoint. And I think we should look at salvation from a standpoint of what the Bible says, looking forward to Messiah. Now, some people say, well, in the original covenant, Yeshua wasn't there, so how could they have salvation if they couldn't physically accept Yeshua? Yeshua. Well, Yeshua is the salvation of Yah. That's what it means. That's his name, the salvation of Yah. And I do believe he was there in the original covenant. His salvation always existed. And people had a chance to accept his salvation as they looked forward to the physical form of him coming towards the future, which was Yeshua, the one they called Jesus. But they still had that opportunity back then to accept Yah's salvation, put their trust in him and follow his guidelines and instructions for the blessings. Then when Yeshua appeared to the people in the renewed covenant, the people had a decision to make, and he first appeared to the Jewish tribes, and some of them accepted him for who he says he was, and many of them rejected him. And then he sent his disciples out to the whole world, Jewish, Israel, non-Israel, non-Jewish. It says everyone has an opportunity to accept me. And today, we look back, not forward towards the Messiah. We look back towards him and his message for us. Remember, Yeshua means the salvation of Yah, the salvation of the Creator. It's the salvation part of the Creator. That's what it is. So, the original covenant, they had people looking forward to that. Now we can look back at the message and the story of Yeshua and look forward to his return when all this is going to take place. So hopefully that clarifies what this is for you, and you'll put your faith in understanding the things I said here today. Okay, so as I'm recording this, that was what I did the other day. And just last night, I had a discussion with a young lady about this topic as well. So the first part of what you've already heard was me sharing about this important topic, and it is such an important topic. It might be a little repetitive today because I don't remember exactly how much I covered in this when I did that original one, but I had a conversation with somebody about this just last night, and it's good to have conversations like this. It really is. And I was first trying to express that to the person. When you hear something that you agree with, it feels good, but are you really learning anything? So it feels good to for somebody to agree with you and everything else, but did you really learn anything? And the answer is usually probably not. The question is, when you disagree with somebody, or if you're not sure about something, that's an opportunity to learn, correct? Yes, it is. And so some of the things I said here today, you might be thinking the same way. Some of the things you might not agree with. But regardless, these are things that we're to pray about. But this person came to me and she was like a borderline atheist, or she was literally everything she was saying was explaining an atheist. But her reasoning was that she found it hard to believe a lot of the things in the Bible that happened. She didn't see it with her own eyes, and she wasn't there, so how could this be real? And it just doesn't make sense, even if it is real. It just doesn't add up from a logical possibility that these things can be done. And that, in fact, is the point of this audio here. It's there's It's not supposed to make logic. Faith and science aren't necessarily going to run parallel with each other. And when you can't explain something, but you know, that's what it's about. And then we have to make that choice, like just what we speak about. So this is an interesting topic. The person said to me, or asked me at least, and said, when Adam and Eve were born or created, and they had offspring, how did those offspring, just those two people in the world, end up being different races all around the world if it was just from the same two? Meaning, if you figured you'd have, you know, if you had two, and I don't have no idea the what they looked like or things like this, but how'd we get different cultures around the world? You got Spanish people, you got people from Africa, you got people that are different colors, you got people that are Asia, and all these different people. If they all came from the same two, where did that happen? And it's a unexplainable kind of question. It's like really difficult for somebody to really explain, well, how did this happen? How did this become possible? But the thing is, logic can't explain it. Logic can't give you the answer. We have to have the faith. That's what we need. We need the faith to, we don't have to explain this to people, these things. Like in the scripture says that animals spoke. You know, there are people coming back from the dead, Yeshua himself coming back from the dead. And then there's all these things that are inconceivable to our human reality of the way we live today. But these things did, in fact, take place. They did happen. But we can't comprehend the Red Sea opening up and the Israelites walking through it. But it happened. And now we have a choice to believe, well, how could we prove that it happened if we weren't there? And so I answer this question in different ways for different people. You know, some people say, unless I see with my own eyes, I'm not going to believe it. I say to some people, well, was Abraham Lincoln the president? Was George Washington a president? And they say, sure. I say, well, how do you know that? Did you see it with your own eyes? You didn't even see a video of them and you believe it. You take history for truth. Well, there's enough historical information to show that Yeshua died and rose again. Hallelujah. But there's no historical, or at least there's no information other than the Bible, a witness or anything other than the Bible to show that, hey, that donkey was talking. There's certainly no recording of it. And we come to the questions like Adam and Eve, and then we come to the races question or the ethnic question, like, well, then how do we get people in different cultures all over the world? And there's many different possibilities. Well, there's not many, but there's several explainable possibilities. The key is our Creator could do whatever He wants to do. That's it. And it goes beyond the mind of our human thinking that some of these things can be done. Some of these things done weren't done for a long time. And some people explain that by saying, because the amazing lack of faith of people today, a lot of the amazing things aren't being done. But maybe they are being done. We're just not witnessing them. Maybe the people that are doing these things have a faith so strong and such a relationship with our Creator that their goal is not to go and make a YouTube video of some miracle or some inconceivable thing that has happened. And regardless if it's happening today or not, the possibility is still there, because God can make all things happen and anything happen. And it's exciting thing. It's something that should excite brothers and sisters everywhere. These unanswerable questions can get very serious, and they can be really hot topics. You know, another question is, where do we go when we die? Well, as believers, we believe in faith that we got in salvation and Yeshua and what he promised us. So we know about Judgment Day. We know where we're going. But then the real question is, well, how do you get there? How do you get there? I mean, by many scholars today, not all, but by a good amount, it says there's something called soul sleep, where we sleep in the grave before we rise with everyone else at the same time. And when we're in that sleeping state, we have no concept of time or anything that's going on. Others believe immediately your soul's going to depart. You're going to go up into this nice place called heaven. And they'll start speaking to the person that passed away, you know, with that hope in mind or something. It's a great hope and belief in faith for encouragement. But the thing is, these things can't be proven because they are unknown. They're unknown. That's when we got to make a choice to listen to all the things that are out there about these different topics and decide, what do we want to believe about this? What would we like to hear? What would be the best scenario for us? And when we find out that, there we go. And as we're talking about the topic of salvation by faith alone or by faith plus works, we need to ask the question and keep in mind is, what is faith and who has it and what we're able to do with it? Important topics that not only this person last night, but other people I've been talking to about, because it goes beyond the feel good, happy, we follow Jesus attitude. And it gets into deep questions that you would think would be a discussion between a non-believer and a believer. But this is great discussion for believers to ask these questions as well. And then the real question becomes, or another question becomes, is why do we want to know this answer or these answers? Do we need that to confirm the Bible being true? Or what is our motive for knowing the answers? Is it just curiosity? And then the other question is, whatever it is, I got Yeshua, the one they call Jesus. That's all I need to know, and I'm fine. Thank you, and have a great day. So these are the different ways or ideas people have to this type of topic or situation. Thank you for listening, everybody. Have a great day, and shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life
Ministry. From the heart of the Everglades, this is Pastor Arlen Payne inviting you to join us every Wednesday at 5:15 a.m. and 5:15 p.m. for the Consider His Word radio program.
Consider His Word.